tell you about small groups very quickly today, and if you have bigger questions, you'll have to talk to me later. The first thing to remember is the church began as a large group. We had 3,000 the very first day on Pentecost. And then the next thing it says is, and the number was added. The Lord was adding the numbers as the day went on. When you get to the church of Corinth, they were all, the whole church was assembling together in one place. But the church very quickly developed small groups too. And people usually overlook that. One, they attended the temple daily, but Acts 2:46 says they broke bread in their homes. So they were meeting house to house. If you read at the close of a lot of the epistles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Colossians, Philemon, here's what you keep reading. The church that is in their house. The church that is in their house. Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their house. Paul mentioned it in Romans. He mentioned it again in 1 Corinthians 16:19. These people were meeting in homes, which means they were in smaller churches than most of us are familiar with. We don't normally think of church as being just in a home. Some have been, but usually they're not so. So we think of small groups as a modern innovation. Now, you got to understand that for, 35 years, I've been beating the drum for small groups. And when I did that, of course, I talked to a lot of education directors, and they'd think, man, I don't want to do that, or I don't like that. And so that went on. I did that like I was like John the Baptist. I was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, make ye the path straight. Then all of a sudden, the evangelical world said, small groups is where it is. And so all these same guys that looked askance at me came back, and one of them said at the ACU lectureship one day, he said, you know this small group thing, and we need this, and this is really great. And I looked at him, and I said, you are lecturing me about small groups. And it embarrassed him, because he had been, for 10 years, he'd been against them. But when the evangelicals did it, well, it was okay. When I said it, it was not okay. So you got to know what your power is. So we have small groups. Now, I want to point out something to you. Jesus deliberately chose 12 people. In the small group training in the New Testament, you start with Jesus. He went over, he prayed all night on the mountain, and he came down and he picked 12 men. And he took those 12 men and he trained them laboriously for a 3-year period. He walked around with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. They went to the big meetings together. They went across on the Sea of Galilee together. But everywhere he was always training them. One time, they were walking along and on their way to some place, and they were back behind him, and they were fussing about who's going to be number one in the kingdom. Who's going to be the chief disciple? And so when Jesus got there, instead of having a big thing and preaching to them like we do today, he got that little group of 12 together, and he said, what were y'all talking about on the way? And of course, they didn't want to bring that up. They'd been doing the wrong thing. And then he said, he knew they were talking about who was the greatest. So he brought a little child in the midst of them and said, now, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, this is what you do. But notice, he didn't wait till he had a Pentecost occasion to preach that sermon. He took this small group and said, look here, let me train you in this thing. You are part of a small group. And Jesus took the 12, and many times he would get up and preach and teach and do all these things, and teach parables, little stories, and then they'd get away and they'd come to him and they'd say, we didn't understand that. What did you mean? And then he would sit down and talk with the small group. Now, let me say something. It's a little bit facetious, but you will appreciate it a little bit better. It amazes me that Jesus picked 12, and he was the group leader, and that makes 13. In this red, white, and blue book, when people say to me, how many should be in a group? I said, between 8 and 13. And they said, you know, well, why do you think that? I said, well, basically my experience. But it didn't escape me when I began to look at Jesus' life that when he wanted to intensively train people and change their lives, he only chose 12. And, of course, the teacher was the 13th one. So as I always say, most folks just have opinions in their book, but I have Scripture in mind. 13 is the right number. Now, can you have 14? Can you have 15? Can you have 16? Can you have 20? Of course. But the point is, a small group needs to be a small group if it's to function like you want it to. And you can have more, but the bigger it gets, the more you dilute the effect. And so we found, and this I didn't look at that text to begin with, but I experimented for years, and I discovered you don't want it to get below 8, but you don't want it to get much above 13, because a small group doesn't work. I went one place, one time up in the northern states, a fellow that had been around us, and we got up there, and he'd learned about you have your group, and you sit in a circle. And we had about 40 people there that night, and they were in a circle in a room about this big, and we were all the way around the walls. Missed the point. A small group.